Bless the Lord. Thank you. I'd just like to read the words of a hymn following what Peter just shared and the word of comfort and exhortation that the Lord has given to us. And it just speaks of our condition outside the Lord, and then how that changes, and we become new men and women through the ministry of the Lord to our hearts. Okay, so I'll tell you the author at the end. In evil long I took delight, unawed by shame or fear, till a new object struck my sight and stopped my wild career. I saw one hanging on a tree in agonies and blood, who fixed his languid eyes on me as near his cross I stood. Sure, never till my latest breath can I forget that look. It seemed to charge me with his death, though not a word he spoke. My conscience felt and owned the guilt and plunged me in despair. I saw my sins his blood had spilt and helped to nail him there. Alas, I knew not what I did, but now my tears are vain. Where shall my trembling soul be hid? For I the Lord have slain. A second look he gave, which said, I freely all forgive. This blood is for thy ransom paid. I die that thou mayst live. Thus, while his death my sin displays in all its blackest hue, such is the mystery of grace, it seals my pardon too. With pleasing grief and mournful joy, my spirit now is filled, that I should such a life destroy, yet live by him I killed. He was quite a poet, wasn't he? His name was John Newton. And I've never read that before, but what amazing. And of course, he wrote Amazing Grace with William Cooper in Olney. And he lived a horrible life before he met the Lord. We won't go into that, but it was an evil life that he got into. And then the Lord saved him right out of it. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then he fought to change that awful thing that he'd been involved in, which was of course the slave trade. Okay, we're going to go, I'm just going to do a little bit of a roundup here of things we've touched on, and then just one or two other things, and I won't take too long, hopefully. You know, it's lovely when the Lord, to hear the Lord speak, know that when you return home, he's looking on you. He's seeing where you are. His eye is upon us as well as our eyes upon him. And he never changes. So the way he's spoken to us here to exhort us, comfort us, encourage us, he'll do the same at home as well. Glory to his name. And I was just thinking, sometimes, you know, there's a really lovely thing the Lord does. You know, one of these little touches that speak of his eye upon our life. And we have a Thai Bible study with a couple of Thai ladies who are living in this country. One is a chef, and the other one in a restaurant, and the other one she does massage, but it's at the kind of traditional Thai massage. Okay, and anyway. She said, this latter lady, she'd been somewhere else. We saw her about a week ago. She'd been somewhere else. And she said it was Bansiri. Bansiri. Well, Bansiri in Thai means house of glory. Okay, Bansiri. the place she'd been to was Barnsley. Oh, I love the Lord's sense of humour. Can any good thing come from Barnsley, you might ask? Hallelujah. Well, a good thing did come from Barnsley, and his name was Hudson Taylor. All right, that's another story. Okay, what have we learned so far? Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Hallelujah. And when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, he repented of his sin. And then God commissioned him, charged him, and he went out and he spoke words that were life and spirit to many thousands and millions of people through the Bible. Hallelujah. Moses saw the Lord full of grace and compassion. And when he saw that gracious and compassionate Lord, he humbled himself to the dust. And it was written of him. And this is in the book of Moses, Numbers, but not written by Moses, I am absolutely sure. It said he was the meekest man on earth. I think Joshua wrote that and put it in there. The meekest man on earth. What is meekness? Meekness is strength under divine control. He knew the power of God at work in his life, but his heart was humble before the Lord. Hallelujah. Daniel saw the Lord as sovereign over the nations. And yet, and the visions that he received, his sights that he saw, man alive, you know, they took all the strength out of him. He was absolutely paralyzed on his face before the Lord. And we know that, you know, some costly things happened during his life. He lived a very long life, but he stood for the Lord all the way through. And then he was strengthened by the personal touch of the Son of Man, just when he needed it. And we can be sure too that the Lord's personal touch will come to us right when we need it. We'll see that in a moment in somebody else's life who we've already heard about. Peter, he saw the Lord as the Christ, the Son of the living God. His eyes were opened, and then somehow his vision got blurry again. And does that ever happen to us? Yeah, we see the Lord. We've had a vision of the Lord that's really blessed us, and we've been up, as it were, on the mountain with God, and then we descend into the valley and we find that there are demons there and people who are troubled and so on. And yet the Lord is with us there in the valley too, whatever particular valley we might be led into. And he was the one who led them into that valley that they might find his grace and peace and love there too. It's great when we see the Lord on the mountain. That is a fantastic thing. But that's to help us walk in the days when we're in the valley. Yeah, that's to help us walk through the valley. That memory of when the Lord was so real and so we felt so near, and we had that heavenly vision that Paul talked about. Oh, he was a man with... He was a man who had a mighty vision of Christ. And not going to go into the details, but I was just checking out the original language of that moment when Paul met the Lord, and he testifies to it in Acts. I mean, it's in Acts chapter 9, of course, and then he testifies in Acts 22 and 26. And the word that's used, you know, in our English version, it says a light shone round about him. The original of that word means it was like lightning flashing all around him. It wasn't just a light in the sky. It was like lightning flashing all around him. It must have been absolutely petrified. Yeah. And glory to God. There are people who see the Lord in that way. The Lord, for a friend in Liverpool who saw the Lord and was converted like Paul. And God is working in these days in manifestly powerful ways that maybe hasn't happened since the early days of Acts. And it's almost like things are turning full circle. And the church is awakening to the power of God
that God wants to demonstrate on the earth in this day that can transform lives, hallelujah, and break addictions and fill with the Holy Spirit and energize with a heavenly energy that's not fanatical. It's not fanatical, but it's powerful and real and true. And it runs like a river through our lives as we yield ourselves to Him. The early church, they prayed, didn't they? And we talked about prayer. We've been talking about prayer this week. And they prayed two things. Lord, give us holy boldness. Give us holy boldness to proclaim your name, to speak of Christ everywhere, anywhere and everywhere, as we have opportunity. And secondly, Lord, stretch out your hand to heal. Lord, stretch out. You do signs and wonders. Lord, confirm your word with the signs that follow. I believe those are two great prayers to pray for us too in our day. So I'd just like to briefly refer back to Peter just for a few moments. Just pick up a few things in his life where Jesus revealed himself to Peter in new ways. And I think maybe there's something we can learn too. So I'm going first to Matthew chapter 14. And we've been there already, looking at this moment when the Lord called to Peter. Matt was speaking of it just a little earlier, where Jesus was seeing them straining at the rowing. And then he goes to them. And almost in another dimension, walking on the sea. But for Jesus, okay, that was okay. I mean, that, as Matt said, the disciples had no point of reference. But for Jesus, it was, he's at home anywhere and everywhere. He can do anything at any time. Glory to his wonderful name. He has no limits. His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. And out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. Hallelujah. Glory to his wonderful name. That's Jesus. Hallelujah. The Jesus we worship, the Jesus we adore. And he will never change. He's always Jesus. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And forever with you where you are. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. And Peter, and the disciples start screaming out for fear because they think it's a ghost. And Peter says, and the Lord says, there are three immediately here, okay? And that's all I want to touch on. Three immediately. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. And the word there is strongly urged. So why did he do that? Sometimes we don't know what the Lord's about, do we? Things that happen, we just don't know. But here the Lord strongly urged them to get into the boat. Boys, get into the boat. Get into the boat. Off you go. I'm staying here. Yeah. They went. Immediately he constrained them to go into the boat. And then we know what happens, and the Lord comes in the fourth watch of the night, about 3 a.m., bad time of the night to see things in the night or have thoughts in the night. That's usually the time, isn't it, when it all presses in on us and we wake up and suddenly we're thinking about this and that and think, oh, there's no way out of this, or how's that going to work out, or yeah. And the disciples, yeah, they're all there, and the Lord speaks immediately to them. That's great, isn't it? The Lord immediately, when they were in that blind panic, the Lord said, cheer up, lads. I'm here. Cheer up, lads. It's me. He was there at the heart of things. And he's always there at the heart of things. And then Peter pipes up, as he often did, and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And on the strength of that word of Jesus, Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water to go to Jesus. Wonderful. Moment of great faith of Peter. And then we know that he looked at the wind and the waves, took his eyes off Jesus and started to go under and cried, the best prayer in the Bible, Lord, save me, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you oligopistor, you little faith, why did you doubt? And I don't think the Lord was rebuking him there. I think the Lord was really pleased that Peter had shown that faith, that great faith, to go to him. And then Peter had great faith again, because unless Jesus picked him up and carried him, he walked on the water back to the boat as well. So anyway, hallelujah, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand. Immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, be of comfort, I'm here. Don't let fear overcome your faith and trust in me. Hallelujah. And there are many fears. One of the devil's chiefest weapons is to try and instill fear into our hearts and minds. I always remember, probably shared this before, a few years ago, went to a country in the Himalayas on the Lord's service, and there was going to be a 2,000 kilometer journey from west to east on extreme roads. I mean, really extreme roads, where the roads are, well, the level is sort of between 10 and 12,000 feet that the roads are on, and then there are thousands of feet drops off the road. And this fear came upon me 2 weeks before this. In the middle of the night, I woke up about 2 a.m. and this tremendous fear was on me. Well, what happens if we go over the side? Well, it's a long way down. It's a long way down. Hallelujah, Lord, here I come. But I knew the Lord wasn't saying that. I mean, there's a place where, yes, of course, when we're in the Lord's service, we're there for him. You know, and if we have to risk our lives, we risk our lives. But I knew this fear was from the devil. I just knew it's from the devil. And so I just said, Lord, I claim the power of the precious blood of Jesus. And the fear went. That's a great thing to do. You know, the blood of Jesus is eternal and it's powerful. There is power in the blood of Jesus, because it never corrupts. It is incorruptible. The Lord never corrupted in the grave. He did not see corruption. Every other person who dies sees corruption, but the Lord did not see corruption. And his blood is eternal in its worth. It's eternal in its constitution. However that works in the heavens, I don't know. I don't pretend to know. It said there in Hebrews that the Lord offered his blood in the heavenly tabernacle on behalf of you and me. Hallelujah. And I always remember another time in the middle of the night things, in Cambodia. And there are lots of demons in Cambodia. And woke up in the middle of the night, and there was this towering demon over the house. How did I know there was a towering demon over the house? Well, in a sense, I could almost see it. But it's it wasn't visible, but spiritually it was visible. And it was fearsome. It was fearsome. I mean, we're talking about, you know, big. And I claimed the power of the blood of Jesus over the house. And the thing went. Went just like that. It went immediately. I claim the power of the blood of Jesus over this house. And every spirit, every demon has to flee at the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The demons shudder. The demons shudder, James said, at the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We are not afraid. They are the ones who are afraid. Glory to the name of the Lord. Yeah. So Peter walked on water. And he was close to Jesus on the water, but we know that on the land he followed at a distance. Luke 22. The Lord said, Peter, Satan has desired to have you, But I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you. This is Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. Simon, Simon. Simon, his old name. Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, destroy you, in other words. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. And then Peter said, "Oh Lord, I'm ready to go to death with you." And the Lord spoke to him and said, "Peter, you're before the cock crows, you'll deny that you know me." And so why did Satan think that he had the right to Peter? Well, because Peter had been bragging his head off. 22, 24. Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And when Peter gave himself to the pride of life, yeah, I'm the best, I'm the big one, I'm the one the master's always asked to do things, and so on, whatever way it came out. He made opened a door for Satan to get in. And yeah, we know that we know what happened. But the Lord said, "I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of the Lord. I have prayed for thee. I have prayed for thee, personal, thee. Yeah, he prayed for all the disciples, but in this circumstance, Peter, I'm praying for thee, for you personally. Hallelujah. And Jesus, we know, carries on that wonderful ministry of intercession in the heavenly places right now as our great high priest, as the one who stands for us at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, from the guttermost to the uttermost. He is able to save us. He is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. Hallelujah. Because he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest is fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. Wow, the highest place that heaven affords is his by right, but Jesus is higher than the heavens. Imagine that. He fills all things. He's the highest of all creation. Hallelujah. And above creation. Hallelujah. Glory to his wonderful name. And Jesus is there praying for you and me today, beloved. He's praying for all his church, that we're all on his shoulders. We're all on his breast. You know, like the high priest, he had the names of the tribes of Israel engraven on precious stones. One place was on his shoulders. That's the place of strength and power and authority. And also on his breast, which is love. Hallelujah. I hire a great high priest. He has loved us with an everlasting love. So the Lord prayed for Peter. Then he looked at Peter. And that look of love, where after Peter's denial, broke Peter's heart, and he went out and he wept and he wept and he wept. And then when the Lord was risen from the dead, he said through his angel to the women who had come to the tomb, he said, go tell my brethren and Peter. Hallelujah. And Peter. Hallelujah. That's in Mark's gospel. One little phrase, go tell his disciples, the angel said, and Peter. Special word for Peter, to tell him he's not forgotten. Okay, he's blown it, but there is grace, there is forgiveness, there is love. And we know that Peter came back to the Lord. And the Lord, he had a personal interview, and the Lord restored him and gave him a commission. And then the Lord began to use him in a wonderful way on the day of Pentecost. Go there in Acts chapter 1, on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, again ahead of myself, here we are, 2:14, Peter, the Holy Spirit has come, but Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice. Here's a moment when Jesus opened Peter's eyes to see
his glory. Peter realized he needed his brothers. He needed his brothers. He needed his sisters. He was standing with the 11. It wasn't Peter bigger than everybody else now. It was Peter humbled to the dust, but still knowing that God had a work for him to do. And he stood up with the 11. He needed a band of brothers. And one of the things that comes to me more and more in these days in our local church where we are is that we need one another.
Amen.
We need one another.
Amen.
We, when we're together, we are bigger than the sum of our parts. Yeah. I don't know how many of us are here, but there, we are more than we are here. Yeah. Wordsworth wrote a famous poem called We Are Seven. And it was a little boy talking to the poet, and the little boy came from a family, and the family was actually six, but he said, no, we are seven, because one of us went to heaven as a child. You know, one of us went to heaven. We are seven. Well, our eldest brother has gone to heaven. We are more than the sum of our parts. We are always more than we see ourselves to be. Why? Because Jesus is amongst us. The shout of a king is in the camp. And he is the one who has all authority in heaven and earth, given unto him, hallelujah, delegated to his church, to use in every locality as the Holy Spirit guides us in our prayer meetings, in our sharing, as we sing and worship and dance before the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We receive things from one another. I said earlier this, at the beginning of the week, I received things in last Thursday night's prayer meeting in our local church, the Longcroft, there where God spoke to me about this week. And that was heard through brethren who were just praying their hearts out before the Lord. And as we listen to one another, so the Lord says, you know, one has a word of prophecy, one has a tongue, one has a psalm, one has a song, and do everything for building one another up. Yeah, hallelujah. We all contribute and the body is built up. Glory to the wonderful name of the Lord. And there was another thing that happened, and Acts chapter 9, and we'll come to an end here, more or less. Okay, the Lord sends Peter on a mission, and he's praying on a housetop, and some Gentiles, non-Jews, come knocking at the door, Romans actually. Who were of course the occupiers of the country. And Peter's been praying, and he sees this vision, and the Lord speaks to him that he must not call things which the Lord has cleansed common. And through the blood of Jesus, the Lord has cleansed all mankind from every tribe, tongue and nation, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah, in potential, for all time, for all eternity. And now the Lord says, Acts 1:8, hallelujah, hallelujah. When he is come, when the Spirit has come, you shall be my witnesses, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth, the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. And the Spirit spoke to Peter, saying, there are three men seeking you, go with them and don't doubt it. And so he went, you know, and when God goes to the ends of the earth, things begin to happen that never happened there before. There was a lovely brother in Cambodia we got to know, his name was Pan. He was just a farmer, came to the Lord in his 40s, simple farmer. And he came to the Lord and he started having a little meeting with his family in his house, invited the neighbors. Hardly anybody ever came in, but he had that meeting in his home to worship the Lord week by week, just a handful gathering. And then he used to go out to villages around sharing the gospel just locally. He had a motorbike that was more bones than flesh, okay? It was just a skeleton of a bike. But anyway, he'd go around. And then one day he noticed under a house, there was a man in shackles. And he saw it and he went home again and he started praying. And the Lord put it on his heart to go and visit the man in shackles.
So he went back, and the man was under the house, shackled hand and foot. And he asked permission from the people on top of the house, because it's a stilt house, of course, if he could come up. And they said yes. And it was the man's parents. And he said, "Why is he in shackles?" And they said, "Well, he's got a demon. And every so often he goes crazy and he starts hurting people."
Jesus.
Pan shared his Saviour with the parents and what the Saviour could do, and asked permission to visit their son, and they gave him permission. So over a period of weeks and then months, Pan went to sit with this man in shackles under the house, and he read the scriptures to him. He read the scriptures to him, and after a period of many months, the man gave his heart to the Lord and is free. Hallelujah. Wonderful. That's what Jesus does at the ends of the earth. And the Spirit said to Peter, "Go, don't doubt." And he went. And sometimes, you know, we kind of wonder, "Lord, are you really in this?" We have to go to the Lord and say, "Lord, Holy Spirit, is this from you?" And the Lord will give us the witness of the Holy Spirit to say, "Yes, this is of me. Go in my name. Don't be afraid. I will be with you to the ends of the earth if necessary. And to the locality where you live, you know, your next door neighbor, I will be with you, with your next door neighbor." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And lastly, I want to say one more thing that I believe helps us to open our eyes. And it's just a verse in Philippians, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, and I'm going to end here, Philippians 3:20, where Paul writes, he says, "Our citizenship is in heaven."
Yes.
Yeah, here we're in exile, we're out of the garden, our heart longs for that garden, our heart longs to be back where we should be,
yes.
And that is with Jesus, and in heaven, our citizenship, our true citizenship is in heaven, from which we also look for the Saviour, or eagerly wait for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. As our hearts reach out to him in faith, in the days in which we live, and we could say a lot about these days in which we live, and don't have time now, but the Apostle John wrote at the end of his third letter, he says, "I trust shortly to see you face to face."
Yes.
And that's the Lord writing his signature at the end of the letter. He's coming back. He's coming back.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And he wants us to look for him in our hearts, to look up to him, to believe in him, to trust him, and to see him as our all in all, to see him as the true reality who we can reference every day, single day of our lives. And know that he is in control of all things, and there's nothing outside of his sight. His eyesight is perfect. He sees us when we're straining at the oars. He sees us when we're rejoicing. He sees us at home. He sees us in town. He sees us in college. He sees us in the street. Hallelujah. He sees us when we worship, and he sees us in his great and wonderful and marvelous love. Praise his wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Thank you.